I'll read Psalm 139 as it appears in the scriptures. You can follow along there or in your Psalters if you like. This is Psalm 139. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. We often turn to this psalm, especially in connection with the sanctity of human life. Those verses that start in verse 13 describe God forming our inward parts, knitting us together in our mother's wombs. It says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. These words speak about the power of God, but even more importantly, the knowledge of God that stretches even to a baby who is yet to be born. And the whole psalm has to do with that theme, the idea of the knowledge of God. We have a special word that we use to describe that. It's kind of a mouthful. The word is omniscience. Kids, you can try that on your parents later. It's a $50 word, and tell them that we learned about God's omniscience today. It means that God knows all things. Some of the children have been studying the catechism, and they may know the answer to this question. Does God know all things? The answer to that is, I see some of them, yes. Nothing can be hid from God. That's descriptive of God's omniscience, that He knows all things. The author of this psalm, David, applies that knowledge to a variety of different things. And he starts with himself. In verses 1 through 6, he admits that God knows him completely. He says, God knows wherever I go, when I get up in the morning, when I lie down at night, He knows what I'm thinking and what I'm speaking. In fact, He knows those things even before I do. Before a word is on my lips, O Lord, You know them. It's very humbling to think about the omniscience or the knowledge of God that is so precise and so deep about us. It goes on in verses 7 through 12 to say, you cannot escape from God. And David speculates, he says, what if I were to go up into the very heights of heaven itself? Well, God is there. What if I were to descend into the depths of hell? God is there. What if I were to go to the ends of the earth, to take the wings of the morning, and if I were to flee to the uttermost parts of the sea, to the farthest place that I could think of going? God is there too. There is nowhere that you can go to get away from God. He is also omnipresent, if you want another $50 word. He is omnipresent and omniscient, all-knowing. Then in verses 13 through 16, David marvels that God knows even an unborn baby. And not only that, not only does he know a baby who is still in his mommy's tummy, but he knows the days that each one of us will experience. From before our birth, from our very conception to our death, God knows every single day of our lives. Another humbling aspect of the knowledge of God that we apply to our lives. And that's what David then does in verses 17 to the end of the psalm. He applies God's knowledge to a believer in three different ways. The first way is by saying in verses 17 and 18 that, God, your thoughts are precious to me. Your thoughts are precious to me. Since God knows all things, and since God knows you, David leads you by these words to dedicate your life to knowing Him in return. God's thoughts ought to be and are precious to every believer. David encourages you to have them in mind at all points during your life, wherever you go, whether you rise up or lie down, whether you go to the heights of heaven or the depths of the earth, the ends of the farthest sea, to be thinking about God. Have them in your mind as you go to sleep, and take them up when you wake. And as David says, the great thing is that when you wake, you will still be with God. So make God's thoughts precious to you. Secondly, God knows what the wicked do. That's verses 19 through 22. God knows what the wicked do. It may seem like men and women get away with murder, doesn't it? It may seem like those who are rich and powerful can do whatever they like and get away with everything. It may seem that rulers slander God and rule in perverse ways, and there's no one to hold them accountable. Well, what this psalm does is it reminds you that God knows. God knows everything that the wicked do, and He will hold them to account. We then are able to think God's thoughts after Him. And as God hates wickedness, we, in humble reliance upon Him, can have a similar hatred of sin in our own lives, and sin in our own communities and in our country. We can pray that the Lord would hold all men accountable and not let the wicked go unpunished. Which leads to a third application in verses 23 and 24. God's omniscience leads you to confess your own sin. You see, God not only knows what the wicked does, but He knows what you do. He knows what you do in secret. He knows the jealousy that you have carefully hidden in your heart. He knows the anger that brews there that you think that nobody else knows about. He knows the lust and the adultery that you commit in the secrets of your own heart. You may think that you have hidden these sins away, but you cannot hide them from God. That leads us to confess as David does, and to take up these words, to vow with your heart, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And this is where Christ comes in this psalm, because it's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can pray this, that the Lord would search us and know us and forgive us. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all have sinned. And by God's grace, He prompts us to repent. And by Christ, He does forgive. He leads you in the way everlasting. Throughout the rest of today, we're going to be singing the entirety of this psalm, meditating on the fact that God knows all things and leading us to confess our sin and our trust in Him. So let me invite you to turn to the second portion of Psalm 139. We sang the first already. We'll turn now to Psalm 139b. We'll sing about that knowledge of God that stretches from the heights of heavens to the depths of hell to the ends of the earth. Let's sing Psalm 139b, and please stand to sing.